today as we come to the table.
What can I do to serve them? Can I pray for somebody? Can I, listen, if you're having a struggle and whatever your struggle might be going on, when you start ministering to other people, it pulls you out of that funk and you actually start getting lifted up because God puts his spirit through you to use you to minister to others. It's interesting when you think about Mary here and again, the love of the Lord and the value that she put on him as compared to the lack of value that Judas put on him. Judas had no value for the Lord at all. Mary had a tremendous value. The question asks, well, what value do we put on the Lord? What is the value that we put in our relationship with him? How important is this thing we call a walk with Jesus Christ? How important is the word to us?
As much as we don't like to admit it, Judas had a point. Mary's valuable spikenard could have been used towards much more practical purposes. The money it could have been sold for could have fed or clothed many poor people. That's a great cause that shouldn't be neglected, but Mary had insight into the value of worshiping Jesus instead. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Jesus was what it was all about for Mary. It wasn't about the mission. And that was the problem with Judas's argument. We should care for the poor, but even more than food for the body, we should demonstrate to them that Jesus provides never-ending food for our souls. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 12, as he continues his message entitled, Love Poured Out.
It says she poured all of it out for him. She broke it open, and once you broke it open, you used it. It was in these closed, alabaster-type flasks. You'd break it open, and you would use it. She used it all on the Lord, and again, showing complete giving over of what she had to the Lord. No limit to the value and the love that she had for Jesus. It's interesting. It says in Song of Solomon 8:7, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give all for love, or rather, if a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. In other words, when you truly love someone, you would give everything up for them to have it. You don't care. You'd have the nicest house, the nicest this, the nicest that. But if the person you love, you can't have anymore and you're going to lose, you'd give it all up to be able to keep them. That's exactly what she's showing right now with Jesus. She's expressing this amazing love and openness for him. Notice she took a pound of it. Again, no limit to the value on this. All that she had, every bit of it, and she anointed his head. She rubbed his feet. It would have been this whole process that everybody's watching. She didn't care what they thought. I'm pouring out worship for the Lord, and I don't really care what you guys think. I love him, and I'm going to give him everything I've got. She wasn't doing it for a show. She was doing it. We're going to see in a moment. Jesus said she had planned to do this, to show her love. And then she rubs it in his feet. She uses her hair to wipe and dry his feet off, showing the love that she had and all this that was going on, this whole thing. And I don't want you to miss this in this because, guys, note this. And by the way, we're going to see in just a moment. Get this. 300 denarii. He's going to tell us in a moment this was worth 300 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. Now, you take 300, that's 300 days. Add Saturdays in, which they took Saturdays off. It's a full year. This was a year's salary. I tried to guess what a year's salary was first service, and somebody came up and corrected me and said, actually, I was looking that up last night. What kind of person looks up the average salary in America? I'm sorry. But anyway, I don't know what he was doing. He's not here, so I can talk about him. But anyway, I'll give you his name if you come up afterwards. No, I'm just kidding. He's a great guy. But he said, hey, I haven't been looking this up. But what are the odds of that? He said, the average salary in America is somewhere right around 59 to 60,000. Now, I know some people, well, that's way more than I make. And some of you are going, well, I couldn't live on that. Because you have millionaires, and you have, others, right? Most of us, all of us. And so it averages out to around $60,000 a year is what he was telling me for an average American salary. Now, if this was an average Middle Eastern salary in today's wages, She just took $60,000 in a moment of time and poured it on his feet and his head. Wow. Wow. I wish I loved the Lord that way. I don't. I love him, don't get me wrong. But I don't know that I'm to the place where I would, with reckless abandon, just pour everything out without stopping for a minute and thinking. And maybe Mary had thought this all through. I don't know. But I want to love him that way. I want to have that kind of reckless abandon for the Lord. And when I think about what happened here, she pours out this. Now you know why all eyes were on Mary. What is she doing? Did you see what Mary just did? It'd be like, almost like, I bet it just, like just everything got quiet probably. Just, they saw her break it open thinking, wow, she's going to use some of her inheritance on the Lord. She just poured out her entire inheritance on the Lord's feet. And don't miss this. She wiped. It says that the fragrance filled the room. Guys, there's two things I want you to note here. When you pour out your love for Jesus, it creates a fragrance in the room that nobody can miss. You see, when you're loving the Lord, when one person in this room during our worship time this morning, when you guys are worshiping the Lord, one person pouring out love and worship for the Lord can put a fragrance in a room that just it smells sweet. That's why when you come into worship times and it's just, it's neat, it's a great place to be. The fragrance of the Lord is there because we're pouring out of the Lord's feet. We're showing him our love. We're giving him our care. And we're saying, God, we love you. We're giving everything. It filled the room with the fragrance of the Lord. And notice, Mary didn't care what anybody thought. Mary didn't care. Mary wasn't worried about whether or not the worship was too loud or too quiet. She didn't care whether or not those, I'm tired of these songs. I've heard them a million times. Her point was, you know what? I'm here to worship Jesus. This is not about me. This is about him. I'm going to pour everything out. Guys, listen, if we have that attitude, there's always going to be worship we like, worship we don't like, things we'd change if we could. Here's where maturity comes in as a believer. Are we here for us or are we here for Jesus? If we're here for us, we're going to grumble sometimes. Because it's never going to always be. And no, by the way, nobody has grumbled, so I'm not making some statement. I'm just making a point. When you get to a place when you recognize true worship is truly for Jesus, it's just worship. Let's fill the room with the fragrance of the Lord. And you feel this, and you sense this sweetness, and you smell the fragrance of the Lord in the room. Now, don't miss this. She used her hair to wipe off his feet. Get this. As Mary was worshiping the Lord and pouring everything out for him, she took on his fragrance. Isn't that wonderful? And that's exactly what happens to all of us in here. As we praise the Lord, the room fills with the fragrance of the Lord. We take on the fragrance of the Lord so that other people can enjoy it. And this is exactly where Mary was. And by the way, I want to encourage you guys, you know, have a fragrance of the Lord in your homes. I haven't always done the best at this. As a matter of fact, I failed, but I'm trying to reestablish it. Now, I remember when we built our house years ago, I put in speakers and music. I was so excited. We're going to play worship music. You know, not all the time, but just kind of have worship music in the background. I want the fragrance of the Lord to be in my home. And then I found out I couldn't get a single radio station, a Christian station, inside my house with my unit. Now, so I'm like, okay, well, I have a CD player, so I'll buy these CDs. But once you hear these, you know, the five CD thing like a million times, like, okay, not going to go. You know, it becomes a real chore to keep it fresh, so to speak, right? But that's my heart is to do that. So in my new home, I'm looking at ways with new technologies. There's a way you can do things with your smartphone and with different services that you can, through different speakers, you can play worship and all. And I'm not saying it has to be all the time. And if it's not playing all the time, you failed or whatever. But wouldn't it be nice on occasion, on a regular basis, to walk in and just have the fragrance of the Lord surround you as you entered someone's home. Wouldn't that be great? And see, that's my desire. I actually didn't come up with this. I stole this idea from someone. His name was King David. Because the Bible says when David was king, you know what he did? Listen to what he did. He employed worship people 24 hours a day, every day. And they would work shifts. He had massive multitudes of worship leaders. And they would all come in at different shifts and work an eight-hour shift, and then they would leave and all through the night. I mean, you could, listen, if you woke up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. and you wanted to go to the temple because you had unrest, my life is horrible, I need God right now, nobody's with me, I'm all alone. You could go to the temple and you would just hear worship. They'd be there singing. So the fragrance of the Lord 24-7 was coming off of the worship mount, off of the temple mount. And David had him do that because he wanted, he said, I want indoor-outdoor speakers playing all the time on the temple mount. That's a modern-day analogy. That's why when you guys go out here in the hall and you leave, you notice when you come in, there's music in here and there's music in the hall and there's even music in the bathroom. You can't escape. Now, we didn't put it in the closet. I should have thought of that. But you better not be in the closet anyway. You need to be in here in the service, right? Why do we do that? Because my heart is, listen, as any mom and dad, here's my encouragement to you. Seek a way to have the fragrance of Jesus in your home. But my husband doesn't know the Lord. Well, you do. Listen, one person worshiping the Lord brings a fragrance to the home. Note that. One person. One. Doesn't have to even be the whole family. If there's one person worshiping God, there's a fragrance that fills the room. So you be that fragrance. And look for ways. I'm not saying you have to go out and you're not a good Christian if you don't buy some kind of sound system where you can play music all the time. You know I'm not saying that. But whatever it means to you to get the fragrance of the Lord in your house, do that. That's why we play it in the hallways. That's why we play it in the everywhere in here we play it. Because my heart is I want you guys when you come in, whether you know it or not, I want you to enter into a fragrance of the Lord. And you might not even know why. You may come in the Lord. Church, sometimes you get here grumpy, don't you? You know what? A lot of that's the enemy. A lot of that's the enemy. Listen, he comes to what? To kill, steal, and destroy. Why does he do that? Because he doesn't want you to enjoy the Lord. We're going to see that in just a moment. He does the same thing here. He's going to come in and try to disrupt this whole thing. It's a beautiful moment of worship. He wants to rip it off. So you try to come to church, and I told you, you would, and this kind of thing, right? And that's all happening. And then you get here, and you walk in, and so you don't want to be fake, but you, hi, it's good to see you, and you're just kind of readjusting. And I think sometimes hearing the worship, you don't even know it's affecting you. Okay, these people seem pretty happy. You know, and there's this lightness that begins to come. It's something that happens. Be that fragrance person for Jesus. Be that worshiper. Be that person that allows that fragrance to come through you. You're not going to be 100% on that. But at the same time, you can do it some. And moms and dads, we have a responsibility to do our best to try to bring that fragrance of the Lord in our homes. And so Mary does that. Notice what happens here. Look at verse 4. Here comes the enemy. There's this beautiful moment, beautiful celebration. Jesus at the table, wonderful fragrance filling the room. Mary's taking on his fragrance, and everyone else is enjoying this fragrance of Jesus. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Oh, how righteous you are, Judas. Such a hypocrite. You know, this is the first recorded words of Judas in the scripture. Isn't that interesting? The first thing, I know he said more than this. He didn't stay quiet till now. This is the first thing that the Holy Spirit saw worthy to write down. Him rebuking his Lord, whom he will shortly betray. And so, again, not a great way to be known, but we get a glimpse into the heart of Judas with this first recorded words here. It shows greed and false religiosity. How's it greed? Well, greed, because it tells us in just a moment we're going to see, he was stealing money out of the coffers. He was, if you want to put it in modern day language, he was stealing from the church. He was the treasurer. He was in charge of the money, and he was pocketing some of it. So he was a thief. Why was it false religiosity? He pretended to be worried about the poor when in reality he's only worried about himself. Oh, he's worried about the poor. Poor me. What a contrast to Mary who poured out. And Judas who poured into himself. You'll always see that, guys. There's still people today. Again, there are those who come to church to want to give to others. That is, minister to them, to serve them, to pray for people, whatever. And there's always those that come to take. Now, sometimes we come because we have a need. There's nothing wrong with that, especially baby Christians, and we're hurting. We come because we have a need. He wants us to come here for a need. He wants us to be filled with our needs. But if our goal coming to church is always me, 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 and what I want, we're never going to be satisfied. Our goal should be, how can I come minister to the others here at Calvary Chapel today? What can I do to serve them? Can I pray for somebody? Can I, listen, if you're having a struggle and whatever your struggle might be going on, when you start ministering to other people, it pulls you out of that funk and you actually start getting lifted up because God puts his spirit through you to use you to minister to others. That's interesting when you think about Mary here and again, the love of the Lord and the value that she put on him as compared to the lack of value that Judas put on him. Judas had no value for the Lord at all. Mary had a tremendous value. The question asks, well, what value do we put on the Lord? What is the value that we put in our relationship with him? How important is this thing we call a walk with Jesus Christ? How important is the word to us? How important is prayer? Listen, this is not to make everybody feel guilty. I'm not the most perfect at getting in the word and prayer. That's not my point. But if we love the Lord, it's going to happen. We're going to want to be with him. It's a natural outcropping of that relationship. So why was it not sold? Given to the poor. Notice this. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. He said, I'm mad because I want that money. I don't want that to be wasted on you, Jesus. Why should that be given to the church? Give it to me. Or whatever analogy you want to make out of it. It was really more of a greed issue. It wasn't so much the cognizance of taking it from the Lord probably. It's just he was greedy. And although some have tried to lessen Judas' sin of betrayal over the years by claiming it was a friendly act that Judas did trying to force Jesus to take the throne. Some people have actually said that. He was trying to force Jesus to take the throne. He was really a good guy. No, this gives us insight and shows that he had a false heart and a wicked heart. As a matter of fact, Jesus said about Judas, note this, it would have been better for him if he'd never been born. Did Judas go to heaven? Quite obviously, not. Because if he'd gone to heaven, it wouldn't have been better that he'd not been born. It just would have been rough down here, and then it would have been great. The Lord said it would have been better if he'd never been born. And notice, again, points out the money could have been donated to the ministry, but because he was in charge of the money, he only wanted to look like he was concerned so that he could pocket the money. We still got these people today, and I won't go into that. But again, what a contrast to Mary this was here. Those who want to give and those who want to take. And notice how righteous he makes it all sound, which makes it all the worse. We could have given this to the poor. The problem is you wouldn't have given it to the poor. You would have simply given it to yourself. And that's where he was in all this. And notice, very good, look at this, verse 7. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Note that. He's indicating she knew what she was doing. We'll get back to that. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Interesting. I want to get back to this other thing, but I want to mention as a side note here, notice the Lord says we'll always have the poor with us. It doesn't mean we don't give to the poor. It doesn't mean we don't love the poor. It doesn't mean we don't try to help the poor. The church should be doing that. But he's making a point. There is no social program or government structure that will ever do away with the poor, ever. Socialism will never do away with the poor. It'll never be evenly distributed where there are no poor. There will always be poor. That's just a reality. That's why most every form of government that man tries to put together has failed. The only government that's really going to work truly is when Jesus comes back. But this is interesting. Notice here, Jesus says specifically, she kept this for my burial. This was also used, as I said, as a burial ointment. And why do I believe he's indicating that Mary knew what she was doing? Because guess who had just died right before this? If this was a burial ointment, who had just died right before Jesus? Her own brother. And she didn't know her brother was going to be resurrected. Note this. She loved Jesus more than her own family, so much so that she took the family inheritance and saved it for him and poured it on him. Wow! She didn't even use it on her own brother who she was weeping at his funeral. She said, this is for Jesus. This is powerful. See, this is insight into Mary's love for the Lord and what Mary was willing to do for the Lord and her heart for the Lord. Just amazing to me. And what this also indicates, which is really amazing to me, is that Mary knew what was going on. I don't know that Mary knew he was going to be crucified. But the Lord had told them over and over, he said, you know what? I'm going to die and resurrect 3 days later. I believe what the Lord is indicating, because of the fact that she didn't use this burial ointment on her own brother, and Jesus said she saved it for me, and now she's giving it in advance, I believe Mary knew exactly what was going to happen. You know what else I believe shows this? Guess who didn't show up at the cross while all the other women did? This Mary didn't go to the cross. It says the other women following Jesus, they were there at the cross. You won't see Mary of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus fame there. Why? I believe Mary couldn't bear to see the suffering, but she knew he was going to rise. Now, how could Mary have this insight? How could Mary, get this, how could Mary know and understand and recognize that Jesus was going to die and resurrect when the 11 closest followers, notice I leave Judas out, the 11 closest followers in the world of Jesus Christ didn't get it. And they didn't understand it until afterwards. How was Mary able to have such insight? Note this, and don't lose this. Here's why. Mary spent all of her time at Jesus' feet. You want to know more than your pastor? You want to know more than Billy Graham? You want to know more than all these people that seem to be spiritual leaders? Spend time at the feet of Jesus. He will show you things that other people don't see. David said this in the Psalms, I'm smarter than my teachers. David wasn't prideful. He wasn't boasting. I'm smarter than my teachers. David was saying, I know more than those who are instructing me. And you know why? Because I'm spending time meditating with the Lord at his feet, writing these Psalms, and God is giving me insight that they don't have. This is so neat. By the way, simply by sitting at the Lord's feet here in church and the time you read the word in prayer, whatever level it is, did you know right now you have more insight than the world by far? The world has no clue what's going on right now. They don't know that there's going to be racial tensions in the last days. They can't figure that out. You know it. When you see it on the news, you go, yeah, I guess it's really happening as the Lord said. They don't know that the world's going to be joined together in one world government based in Europe. You know that. They don't know that all these things are going to happen. They don't know that Russia and Iran are going to attack Israel. And you can see today Russia and Iran camped on their border. See, they don't know that. Why do you know it? Because you're sitting at the feet of Jesus on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever you're coming, and in your own personal time. Mary had more insight. Because she was spending the time where you need to get insight, and that is at the feet of Jesus, and not only taking on his fragrance, taking on his knowledge, taking on his wisdom. She's the type of person that comes up to me after the service, like you guys. Hey, that's really neat about this. And I wanted to share this with them. I'm going, my goodness, that was really good. How'd I miss that? Next week you teach. You know, it's like, why? You're so, I know who's spending time at the feet of Jesus. Because you guys, God is using you. And this is where Mary was. She was spending time there. And here's something else to realize, though. When you spend time at the feet of Jesus, guys, true worship is costly. And I'm not just talking about financial. This is, we're not going to take up an offering, I promise. You guys know that. I always said that for the visitors. We never take up an offering. Here it comes. No. No, that's all between you and God. I'm simply saying, the bottom line is, what value do we put on Jesus and what are we willing to pour out for him in our relationship to him? True worship is sometimes costly. How can true worship be costly? Well, you may have to get up a little bit earlier. I just can't. I'm too tired. Well, that's okay. You don't have to. You're still going to heaven. How much do you want to sit at his feet? How important is it to you? Are you willing to set aside that time to seek him in the word and to seek him in prayer? There's a cost that comes. You're not earning anything. There's nothing to earn. You're in heaven. It's relational. This is all relational. And this is all you now not only learning, but taking on the fragrance of the Lord by sitting at his feet. The fact that she saved this for the Lord's burial. The fact that she didn't use it on her own brother. The fact that she didn't show up at the cross when all the other women did. I believe she knew exactly what was going on. And for the love that she had, she completely poured everything out for the Lord. I want to finish with this. William Gladstone, in announcing the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons, told a touching story when he was presenting how she died. The little daughter of the princess was, and he's just telling what happened to her. The little daughter of the princess, that is Princess Alice, that had just died, as he's sharing this, was ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and endanger her life by breathing the child's breath. Once, when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, note this, forgetting herself entirely, took the little one into her arms to keep her from choking to death. Rasping and struggling for her life, the child said to her mom, "Mommy, kiss me." And without thinking of herself at all, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter. She got diphtheria immediately afterwards, and some days later died and is now forever with the Lord. And it ends by saying, real love forgets self. Real love knows no danger. Real love doesn't count the cost. What about us? Again, let your mind go way beyond financial. This is not about financial. What is the Lord worth to you? What cost are you willing to pour out for him to know him, to take on his fragrance, to be with him, to seek him? I love the Lord. You love the Lord. But I want to love him more. Do I think I love the Lord as much as I can love him? Absolutely not. And I don't say that to be falsely humble. I say it in reality. I know that I sometimes love Mark more than I should love Mark. We naturally love ourselves. It's in our nature. It's in our DNA. We have to learn, and by supernatural means, stop loving ourselves so much and turn to the Lord to love him. But let's ask God to give us a heart of Mary that we'd say, you know what, Lord, whatever that means, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. It doesn't necessarily mean you do anything physically at all today. We're talking about your heart. God will lead you from there. But let's ask God to give us a heart that everything is the Lord's, even above our own family, as Mary did before Lazarus.
That ends our time at the table of God's Word for today. Pastor Mark is taking us through the book of John, the last of the four Gospels in the New Testament. This book follows Jesus through his ministry while he was here on earth, but gives you a unique perspective from one of Jesus's apostles. John paints a picture for you of the Son of God, a Savior who has all the authority and power of heaven. And we're so glad you tuned in to discover this testimony of our Lord, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Do you have a question about what you heard today? We're here to answer them. You can call 865-609-1385 or visit the Pastor Mark Kirk page on Facebook or visit the contact page on PastorMarkKirk.com. And if you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark to tell you more.
If you don't have a home church, I'd love for you to come and join us this Sunday morning at either our 9:30 or 11:15 services. We also have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6, a 7 p.m. service on Wednesday, as well as activities for kids, youth, and college throughout the week. No matter what time you can come, each time we get together is a sweet time of community and learning about God. If you'd like more info about who we are and what we do, just go to PastorMarkKirk.com.
and click on Our Church in the menu.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, and we hope you can join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study of John the next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.